going to get over. For every mountain that God has brought you over. One of the things that we are unabashed about is the fact that we believe in a God who is able to do everything but fail. And a God who can bring us over mountains and through valleys low. We thank God for our choir, the Voices of Christ. What a way to start this gathering off. Give God another praise offering. Coming now is the Reverend James Kuykendall, who is a member of a planning group that was brought together by Sister Stina Baker of the Communication Workers of America here in New Jersey and nationally. And she and Hetty talked about the importance of bringing faith-based and community-based and organized labor together. And that happens in other places, but I think it's a unique occurrence here in the state of New Jersey. So to give us a little bit more expression about why we've come together and how we got together, I want you to just welcome the Reverend James Kuykendall, who's going to come and give us the occasion for tonight.
Good evening. This is the day that the Lord has made. And we rejoice and we're glad in it. Y'all have to excuse me because I have mixed emotions tonight as I stand before you. I know that this is a rally, but I feel like I'm in a praise service. They tell me that when I was running for office in the city of Patterson, they told me that before you speak, you should always size up the room. You should poll the room to see what you're working with. They told me when I was presiding officer as the president of the Patterson Pastors Workshop in the city of Patterson, they told me before you carry a motion, make sure you have the votes. If you don't have the votes, don't present the motion. So I just want to poll the room. How many believers do we have in here tonight? For the believers, turn to your neighbor and say, but God. Only God can bring faith-based, union, community actions. And the people of God gather together for a purpose. Certainly I want to give honor and I want to recognize the esteemed pastor of this church, the Reverend Dr. Dale Armstrong. Put your hands together for him. I also recognize my fellow clergy, co-servant leaders as we stand here tonight. And then I want you to put your hands together for the esteemed guest speaker tonight, that as he comes to deal with the issues at hand, put your hands together for Dr. Barber tonight. This question before I state the purpose of the occasion. Why are we here? Ask your neighbor, why are we really here? We're not here for just another photo op. And surely I didn't drive an hour and some change just to come and look at you. History has afforded us the opportunity, once again, for such a time as this. This is not just a rally, but a rallying cry to bring our allies together, to unite us as one voice, to fight the opposing forces. Their sole intent is to deny, oppress, and to stop us as a people from receiving our inalienable rights. Tonight, as I stand before you, I'm recalled of the charge that I received from my late pastor, Reverend Dr. Lester Glover. He also was my mentor. And he gave me this charge on the day of my ordination. He said, number one, stand up to be seen. speak out to be heard. And number three, sit down, we'll be appreciated. I will borrow two of those 3 points tonight. I will stand up to be seen, speak out to be heard. From this time forward, all over the state of New Jersey, we will speak out to be heard. But we will not sit down until we all are appreciated. In the words of Troy Matson in the movie Fences, it's not a matter of liking us, but we demand that you do right by us. The urgency of the moment is now. Tell your neighbor, say, neighbor, the urgency of the moment is now. It not only requires swift action, but also an in-depth, detailed, strategic plan to accomplish our objective as we fight the forces of opposition. We have a crisis, not only in the state of New Jersey, but across this nation. For 7 long years, working families and working people have endured the brunt and pain of severe budget cuts, while the top 1% endured luxury of getting richer. We have a crisis.
Yes.
Since 1 out of 20 working people stand to be on the losing end on the national level, we have a crisis. This state and the working people include the long-suffering public employee who has been asked to contribute more while being guaranteed they will receive less than promised for their pension and years of service. Reach over and touch your neighbor, say, we have a crisis. In New Jersey, the current administration is playing an awful game of tag with women's health. It is a game that only succeeds in keeping low income from access to preventive health care. We have a crisis. If the forces who are elected understand anything, they need to understand this: that if you come for one of us, then you come for all of us. Because we have a crisis. How can we even talk about playing with the funding for children's health care when, for the first time in the history of our nation, the disparity between black and white children has been eliminated? So this crisis affects all of us across the board. I say to you tonight as faith leaders, it is essential that the faith leaders across religious and denominational lines must join forces to become allies of those brave, nameless citizens that have taken to the streets in protest. I say to all of us tonight who are in this room, this is a defining moment in history and in the state of New Jersey for such a time as this. We must be like the sons of Issachar in Scripture. The children of Issachar, which were men that had an understanding of the times to know what we ought to do. Now is the time. We in this room, we must rise up and fight in our pursuit to obtain justice for all. You are not here by accident, and you're not here by happenstance. But I believe that God has brought us together for such a time as this. When we talk about movements, movements are not created. They're born. When when the times come together, when the history and the issue and people come together, it gives birth to a movement that ultimately will produce momentum. I say to us tonight, we only just begun. I say to us tonight, history repeats itself. We will continue to fight until victory is won. God bless you.
Our next presenter to talk to us about a very famous letter that has captivated all of our attention from the time it was written. The letter from Birmingham Jail, written by none other than the late Reverend Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. We're going to have Rabbi Mark Klein come to us to present thoughts, reflections, and remarks on this famous letter. And Rabbi Klein is the faith leader of the Monmouth Reformed Temple in Tenton Falls. Is that right, Rabbi? Let's give Rabbi Klein a big hand of encouragement.
My brother, history does. This week, we remembered the 160th anniversary of the Dred Scott decision, a time when the Chief Justice of the United States Supreme Court, writing on behalf of the entire court, said that Dred Scott was not an American citizen, but was only property. That was the call. That was the call for the abolitionist movement. That was the call for us to remember that we had to do whatever it would take to make sure that we could recognize dignity of everybody with whom we shared our lives. And there wasn't an us and there's not a them. There's an us. And it's all of us. So I'd like you to take 1 second. I'd like you to look in the eyes of the person next to you. And I'd like you to ask this question. What would you do to protect my rights? What would you do to protect my rights? I'm new in this area. I've been here 3 years. I've been in the South my entire career. I'm a lawyer, recovering lawyer. And I'm a rabbi. In my first pulpit, I had the honor and privilege of working with a dear friend of Dr. Barber's, Leo Woodbury, as we co-led the March on Columbia, South Carolina in 2005. And it was obvious then that we still had lots of work to do. It's obvious today. Got even more. Gatherings such as this should be about bringing people together for the soulful purpose of praising God and celebrating each other. But our reality is that we're here today because we're called by God to call attention to the unjust mass incarceration, indefensible violence against segments of our community, the ungodly bigotry and systemic racism, the fear bases all hate. And our difficult reality is that each one of these people here, each person you're sitting next to, we're preaching to the choir. We're here. The gathering today, if successful, needs to help us create a greater network to take the energy that we share tonight and spread it in the real world. Many faiths, many cultures, one God. You know, sometimes we know what it's like. We know what's going on out there. And we know that we march for justice and we pray for righteousness. Our job as people of faith is to make sense out of the broken pieces of our world. And the real harsh reality that we face is that sometimes that brokenness is found not in the violation of the law, but in the law itself. The laws that are enforced by government officials. And any time a law limits the due process and the inalienable God-given rights to justice and liberty of a targeted group, it's an unjust law. Sometimes one's only moral course is to be willing to go to jail, to put oneself at risk in violating the law, to demonstrate how desperately it needs to change. Henry David Thoreau fought the poll tax this way. He coined a phrase civil disobedience. And however we respectively see our relationship with God, each of us feels called to heal the world. those who currently control it don't agree with us. Dr. King lived this message. Dr. King wrote this message. Sitting in a Birmingham jail where he was in prison for standing up for what God ordained, the equality of every person on earth. And ultimately, he gave his life for this message. He gave his life to ensure the dream that being able to change the world never gave way to political expedience or personal comfort. His dear friend Abraham Joshua Heschel marched with him in Selma. And Rabbi Heschel said to the seminary he was teaching for, "I need to go to Alabama to be with my friend Dr. King to lead prayer services for civil rights." The seminary let him go. 3 days later, he called from jail. The seminary wanted to know, "What are you doing in jail? You're supposed to lead prayer services for civil rights." Rabbi Heschel said, "My legs were praying. My legs were praying." Dr. King, Rabbi Heschel understood, if there's a hole under one of our seats in a rowboat, everyone's going down. You know what? I refuse to believe, as I face this world, as I see what's going on, and I see people who purport to represent the God who separates, a God who hates. Not your God, not my God, not our God, but a God who wants them to make money by pulling us apart. For some brighter tomorrow, I refuse to believe that God liked things better the way they were before the sit-ins at Woolworth. I refuse to believe that God liked it better before all people had the right to vote. Or that God liked it better when some could earn more than others. Or liked it better before people could choose who they love and who they marry. We have people today trying to stifle our rights, trying to stifle our soul, trying to pull us back. And we have to be ready to answer that cause. And so I'd like you to look at each other again. What are you willing to do to protect my rights? Are we willing to go to jail for each other? Because if one of us is not, then we fail. If there's a cause that is sacred to any one of us, and we're not all ready to answer that call, then we're going to fail. This is beyond solidarity. This is recognizing, in my tradition, we say, Am echad, im lev echad, one people with one heart. And there's only one heart, and it's ours. There comes a time when one must take a position that is neither safe, nor politic, nor popular. But he must take it because conscience tells him that it's right. I ache that we have not fixed this since the days Dr. King wrote that letter. I ache that there are so many of us who hide behind our pulpits, who behind the sanctity of our jobs, the security of it's not about me this time, and let things happen to other people. I ache that when we look into each other's eyes, we ignore God that stares back at us, demanding that we love each other's dignity. Tonight, we're here for a cause. But we're not here for tonight. Again, if you leave here tonight and you're not moved to do something different, something more, with someone new that you met tonight, then we have failed here tonight. But we're not going to fail. Ani ve'ata neshaneh ha'olam. You and I, we can change the world.
We're going to invite the Reverend Charles Boyer to come, and he's going to talk to us about the importance of why faith leaders, clergy, need to stand with communication workers and other public service unions and organized labor in what we call the resistance movement. So Reverend Charles Boyer of the Bethel AME Church in Woodbury, New Jersey. Let's give him a big hand.
As faith leaders, we should stand together in this critical moment with the CWA and the New Jersey Resistance Movement. Together, we can inform and educate our congregations, work on and change policy with progressive legislation that protects the vulnerable and sets the oppressed free. Who better here with us tonight to kick off a moral justice movement in New Jersey than the Reverend Dr. William Barber? Sisters and brothers, the time is gone for solo missions and ministries. Time is gone for personal agendas that take precedence over collective political power. We must stand together. We must stand together because the health care of nearly 2 million people in New Jersey is at stake. We must stand together because, as Reverend Kuykendall said, for the first time, the health disparities between black and white children, that coverage, that disparity is now gone. We must stand together because New Jersey millionaires have been given over $4.2 billion in tax cuts in the past 7 years, while the most impoverished families can only receive $424 a month, the same as it has been since 1987. Most of the minorities close to our houses of worship have been disenfranchised from the right to vote because of the new Jim Crow, and many more are not even registered. We must stand together because counties and towns across this state have illegally concentrated poverty and people of color in particular neighborhoods because they refuse to develop affordable housing. We must stand together because New Jersey schools are more segregated now than they have been since before the 1950s. We must stand together because these schools have been underfunded by over $8 billion over the past 10 years. We must stand together because nationally, blacks are 6 times more likely to be incarcerated than whites, but in New Jersey, we're 12 times more likely, making us the worst and the most racialized criminal justice system in the country. We must stand together because in New Jersey's youth prisons, 75% of the incarcerated are black. We must stand together because KKK leaflets have been floating around South Jersey, because bigots have been emboldened by an orange dictator. A dictator who's used racism and xenophobia and misogyny to propel himself to the highest office in the land and appoint a white supremacist as a chief advisor and a confederate to the attorney general's office. We must stand together. In the Christian tradition, we're in a season of Lent. We're in a season of fasting and prayer. When I think about this season and where we are, I'm reminded of what the prophet Isaiah said. Is that what you call fasting? Do you really think this will please the Lord? This is the kind of fasting I want. Free those who are wrongly in prison. Lighten the burden of those who work for you. Let the oppressed go free and remove the chains that bind people. Share your food with the hungry and give shelter to the homeless. Give clothes to those who need them and do not hide from your relatives who need help. Then your salvation will come like the dawn and your wounds will quickly heal. So brothers and sisters, let us stand with the CWA and the New Jersey Resistance Movement towards a moral revolution and a progressive policy agenda here in New Jersey. Amen.